All right, here is a compilation. We're live right now. We're going to post this to X of the acting Secret Service Director, Ronald the Tyrant Traitor Benedict Arnold Roe, saying he doesn't know if stuff was pulled, and he doesn't know who gave the order to pull security, and now we know he ordered the pulling of the key Secret Service group that coordinates the response to a shooter on a roof, the key coordination group. This is treason. This is a stand down, cut and dry. This man needs to be arrested now. Here it is.
Real Clear Politics reports this morning that you were directly involved in denying additional security resources and personnel, including counter snipers, not just to this event, but over the last 2 years that President Trump's team repeatedly asked for these additional resources, and you personally were involved in denying them. Is that true?
Senator, as I stated earlier, that is not true.
So you never denied any resources to former President Trump's team?
No, not me. No,
and,
sir.
And you, weren't, involved in it?
Stop there. Oh, my God. They now have high-level whistleblowers with the documents. They've got it. It's all here. Because this was 4 days ago when it was just in the news and the Secret Service agents had sent it out. Now he just committed massive perjury right there. Continue.
No, not me. No,
and,
sir.
And you, weren't, involved in any of that? You no, were never sir, involved in the decision-making?
No, sir, I was not.
Multiple requests were made by Trump's protective detail and by Trump's campaign team to the Secret Service for additional resources. I'm told that those were denied. And as I recall, the Secret Service spokesperson initially denied that such requests were made and denied. Why not tell the truth from the outset? What were they trying to do there?
So, Senator, I don't think there was any intention to mislead.
Seems like a pretty material fact, doesn't it?
I saw that report. Go ahead, Senator.
Will you commit to me that you will submit to us in writing what requests were made, by whom, and to whom, and when they were denied?
I will, sir.
Okay.
Secret Service put out an official statement from your spokesperson that says there's an untrue assertion that a member of the former president's team requested additional security resources and that those were rebuffed. This is absolutely false. In fact, we added protective resources and technology and capabilities as part of the increased campaign travel tempo. Was this tweet accurate?
With respect to Butler, Pennsylvania, it is accurate, sir.
So I'm reading from the Washington Post, July 20th, 2024. Secret Service said to have denied requests for more security at Trump events. The opening paragraph. Top officials of the U.S. Secret Service repeatedly denied requests for additional resources and personnel sought by Donald Trump's security detail in the 2 years leading up to his attempted assassination, according to four people familiar with the requests. Is that right, that repeatedly the Trump detail asked for more resources and repeatedly Secret Service leadership turned that down?
That is not accurate, Senator. Assets are requested. There's a process that is made.
How many requests did the Trump team or the Trump detail ask for?
I can get you that number in a queue.
You don't know now.
So I can speak to the ones that were reported in the Washington Post, and we can go through them if you like.
But you don't know how many requests there were.
In general, how many requests since 2021 that the former Trump detail has made a request for assets?
You've had 2 weeks. You had a spokesperson put something out.
All right, let's stop right there.
False on its face.
We're live right now, but I'm going to take some of my comments earlier. This full clip, we're going to put it out on X right now. Acting bombshell video. Bombshell proof. Acting Secret Service Director caught in massive perjury. Acting Secret Service Director who ordered July 13th stand down, caught in massive perjury. I mean, you heard him say, I was not involved, and I don't know who ordered the resources off, and now it's confirmed that he was in charge and he ordered all of that, and they've already interviewed, I'm told, dozens of Secret Service senior people, and they've got over 100 people they're interviewing right now. Again, this broke earlier in the week that they sent their letters out and were going public. Now they've gone to Congress. Now they've talked to the senators. Now they're giving the receipts. They're giving the documents. They're giving the emails, the text messages. They're going to try on Trump again. This is total desperateness. He just got up there in front of you and the whole world and lied. I believe the evidence all points towards him and Mayorkas. I believe he was in the room. I believe that Mr. Roe was a coordinator of the assassination.
I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic vocal fry cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
All right, as soon as I saw the giant economic developments yesterday afternoon, I called Dr. Kirk Elliott, an amazing, accomplished economist, also degreed theologian. I wanted to get him on about the stock market and about the jobs numbers and about interest rate cuts. England, their central bank already did it. And now Chevron's leaving California to move to Texas. That is huge. We've got all of this news, and I want to get Kirk Elliott, who's a really smart guy's take on all of that. Markets sink on weaker than expected job report as fears rise of slowing economy. Yeah, in the real world, it's bad. Stock market sell-off and disappointing economic data raises prospects of pre-election recession. Bidenomics, which is really Obamanomics, historic surge in corporate bankruptcies across the U.S., highest level since COVID pandemic. Chevron taking headquarters to Texas. You thank Gavin Newsom for that. But before we hit that, just as a patriot, a father, and as an American, Dr. Kirk Elliott, here we are 20 days after the attempted assassination of Trump. The acting Secret Service director, we learned, was in charge of the whole thing with the stand down, with the whistleblowers all confirming. No coordination team, that's the main team you've got to have. So there was no communications. Communications are cut off. So he could crawl around the roof for 26 minutes, run around with rangefinders for 90 minutes. The video of him crawling along the roof, everybody pointing, and then nobody gets Trump off the stage. I mean, this is insane, and this is cut and dry. And now this has all come out that the acting director, Ronald Rowe, has done this, but they control the Homeland Security system through Mayorkas. They control the Justice Department, and so the foxes are watching the hen house. What do we do about this? What is your take on this historic moment? Because the obvious trajectory, as I've been saying, they're going to try to kill Trump. It happened. I said they'll make Biden step down probably the 20th, 21st. It happened, as I said. This is not hard. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Next number is 11, 12, because of 12, 13, because of 13, 14. It's a trajectory. This people say, oh, how do you know all this? My God, it's butt naked in front of us here. So how would you quantify this moment as an economist, as a theologian, as a father, about where we are and what do you think we should do about this?
Well, boy, when you look at it, Alex, from a theological standpoint, right, you can read through the scriptures, and what does it say? It said, talks about in the last days, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and be careful about who you listen to, test the prophets, all these things, right? So you're going to have, what that tells me is we're going to have misinformation and disinformation, right? You're going to have when, like a rabid dog, right, when they're backed into a corner, they're going to get wild, they're going to get crazy. And we're seeing this on so many fronts right now. It's like you've got this big picture, right? And there's all kinds of puzzle pieces that need to be put together to make the full picture. And you've got economic puzzle pieces and political ones and health ones and all of these things, right? And to me, as we look at it, everything is falling apart at the same time. It doesn't matter which puzzle piece it is, which tells me somebody is orchestrating something, right? These are all physical manifestations of a spiritual battle that's being waged, because when all of the same same result, which is decline, decadence, moral decay. What's considered good is evil, and what's considered evil is good, right? It's like everything is backwards in this world. And you know, even looking at the distractions that we have right now to keep our eyes off of focused on what's important, like, okay, you've got the Olympics going on right now, right? And everybody's watching that. And there's, while Hezbollah is attacking Israel, and there, now there's this war against Hamas and the Houthis and hostages, and everything that we're seeing is like evil. It's evil. The assassination attempt on the president, that's the people that President Trump should trust the most, Secret Service, is allowing these things to happen. It's like when trust is eroded in society, what else do you have left? You don't have anything. And this is where you look at like the community organizer role that Obama played, right? It's like, how do you get people to fall in line with what you want? You create questions. When people start to question their leaders, then you've won the game, right? Because it doesn't take too much to get them to shift, to change positions, to even change internal biases that they may have had their whole life, Alex. And this is where we're seeing everything start to happen at the same time. And this is, all of this is creating fear. Fear in the hearts and minds of people. And God tells us what to do with fear. It's like, throw it back to the pit where it belongs. Fear is the opposite of love. Fear is the opposite of faith, right? So if we operate in the opposite spirit of fear, which is love, love your neighbor, right? Love, have no other God before you. Love your neighbor. If people actually love their neighbor, we wouldn't have this world that we're living in.
And that's
in,
right? The secret is, if you love your neighbor, they're doing well, you're going to do well. It doesn't mean you give them your wife and bend over, do what they want, but you still think about, you live in a community that affects everything. It's going to affect you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm seeing videos. It made me cry, right? When, like, the hostages, those hostages that were, you know, found, it's like they cut their ankles so they couldn't escape. Who knows what other kind of horrors they had, you know, unleashed upon them over the last 298 days. Right, since October of last year. This is evil, right? And we're not protecting the innocent. I don't get it, Alex. I mean, but to me, this is obviously a spiritual battle, right? And so you there, to me, all of these things are connected, because if everything is moving downward at the same time, it's not just one element. It's not just the economy. It's not just politics. It's not just social decay. It's everything, which tells me that something is orchestrated from higher above, right, to get all of these things to fall apart at the same time.
Absolutely. What do you think Trump should do? I think he should come right out and say, clearly a stand down. Ronald Roe lied. He ran the whole thing. He lied to Congress. It's overwhelming. They bare minimum opened the door with criminal negligence on purpose to get him killed. They stood down, probably coordinated and wound up the guy, the young punk, to do it. I mean, I think Trump needs to come out with all this right now.
Oh, I think he has to, too, because if he doesn't, Alex, then what? If you don't cut off the head of the snake, how can he feel safe going anywhere moving forward if Secret Service can't even protect him?
But it's beyond even making him feel safe. That's a good point. But centrally, that gets the globalist off balance if he calls them out. Like, oh, they go, oh, Trump needs to stop saying Kamala has said she's an Indian her whole life and that she's not black. Well, she always identified as an Indian, never said she was black until now. They don't want him to say that because it's true and it hurts her because they're using identity politics. Whatever they don't want Trump to do, he should do. Who they don't want Trump to work with, he should support. So they're really scared of him coming out and saying this is an assassination attempt by the deep state. Because they're scared of that, because it's the truth. He needs to do the opposite of what they want.
Well, truth exposes lies. Light casts out darkness, right? They can't coexist together. So, of course, they want that, because now they're being found out, right? And it's like, if they keep stopping the truth with lie after lie after lie after lie and having people think that they're the ones telling the truth, soon enough, truth will always cast out the darkness, right? And that's the hope that we have. I mean, that's just It's not just biblical, it's science, right? All it takes is a small little candle and you can light up an entirely dark room, right? It doesn't take too much light to cast out the darkness.
All right, shifting gears, the economy. Big stock market down yesterday. We'll pull up the NASDAQ and the Dow right now. You've got really bad job numbers. You've got England cutting interest rates. You've got what's happening here. Markets sink on weaker than expected job reports as fears rise of slowing economy. That's CNN. Stock market sell-off. Disappointing economic data raises prospect of pre-election recession. Bidenomics. Historic surge in corporate bankruptcies across U.S. So they're trying to claim the economy is really great. Massive exodus accelerating out of blue states. Chevron leaving California to Texas. We'll get into all the points you sent me when I asked you to come on last night. You got a huge stack of key points we're going to get to. But this right here, what does this say?
So you look at what's happening with not just the U.S. stock markets, right? So the NASDAQ, you know, it dipped below 17,000. I'm not a technical guy. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an analyst, right? But I do know that 17,000 is a very strong technical support level. And if you violate that, it's like, look out, look out below, right? And so we're like 16,700 on NASDAQ. It's collapsing. The Dow Jones Industrial Average today, as we record this, is down like 900 points, almost 1,000.
And let me interrupt you. Look at some of the top tech people for the last month have been dumping tech stocks.
They've been dumping them, and it's like, is this insider trading? Do they know what's coming? Do they just feel that it's overbought, or are they smarter than that? And they know that there's something else coming in the economy. They want to get out of Dodge now, because Alex, there's two reasons why people sell stuff. You know, if you're an investor and prices are where they are right now, and you're expecting them to go lower, you're going to sell it right now because you want to lock in your profits before it gets lower, or you sell things because you simply need money, right? So either people need money, they have to liquidate to survive, or they simply want to lock in their profits. The people in the know, the people that are smart, the hedge fund managers, the big bankers, the
bottom line, they're moving towards the exits. What does that signify to you?
Well, it signifies what we've talked about for the last 9 months. A recession isn't coming. A recession is already here. We've been in a recession in America since COVID, since March of 2020. Now, mainstream media and the financial news channels are saying, ooh, we're about to head into a recession. This is going to be a pretty ugly period for America. It's like, you morons. A recession is two quarters of declining output. We've had declining output since March of 2020 during COVID. We're in the thick of a recession, but now people are starting to talk about this, right? And so perception is reality. So now we're starting to see sell-offs, right? So the Japanese stock market yesterday came down 6%, right? You've got the Israeli stock market came down almost 6%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down today, like almost 1,000 points. NASDAQ down, S&P 500 down. If you look at a summary, you know, graph of all the different stock markets throughout the world, they're all red.
And by the way, I can pull these clips up. You, like 6 months ago, we got to find these people. You know, people really only believe something that was said before it happens. Was it 3 months ago, 6 months ago? You've said a bunch in the past that you're looking by August, September, that you were thinking a major stock market correction. I remember you saying that.
Yeah, because normally you have like an October surprise, right? Where the stock market, you know, comes down hard. Well, I don't know why they call it a surprise, because everyone expects that it's going to happen in October, right? But I think this year it's going to happen sooner because it's an election year, because we've got so much turmoil geopolitically with wars and rumors of wars, and now the Middle East on fire, and you've got China and Taiwan, you've got Russia and Ukraine, you've got all this stuff happening. You've got banks that are undercapitalized, right? And okay, so that article that you have on the screen with the Dow down 500, that was before the markets opened today. I mean, that was like 3 hours ago. Now it's down like almost 1,000. I mean, so this is how quick things are starting to move. But what are they seeing? when you see not just one market index, but across the globe, everything is coming down. Why? Why did they come down today? Is it just because of the job numbers report that came out that were abysmal? I mean, even in Bidenomics, where they lie about everything, they couldn't come up with a big enough lie to cover this. The job numbers were really bad, way worse than expected. The job growth isn't there, which this isn't rocket science, Alex.
So it's a no-brainer that the Federal Reserve, to stop inflation, squeeze the economy too much. Will they follow the Bank of England then imminently and cut interest rates?
Well, I think they're going to have to stay competitive with them, right?
Because and then that's going to increase commodity prices of silver and gold.
Yeah, so it will. So here's the story that you're going to hear, the narrative on mainstream media, and there's an opposite reality of what it's really going to do. So you're hearing the narrative already. The Bank of England, the Czech central bank, the Fed, when Jerome Powell spoke earlier in the week and said, we're going to lower rates in September probably, right? Because we're winning this war against inflation. Therefore, we can lower interest rates. That's not the true reality of what's going on and why they're doing it. Now, that's what they want the public to think. But in reality, we've got so much debt. Consumers don't have enough money to spend that they have to weigh out this weird balance. And this is why now they think recession is coming, because you have to lower rates to try to stimulate the economy, right? This is where the rest of the world is looking right now. But to me, you've got rising delinquencies, rising bankruptcies, corporate real estates that's falling apart. They have to do this once, at least once, to save face. But here's the problem. They do it to try to stimulate the economy, to get people to borrow and spend money. But we don't have any excess money to spend. I don't care if rates go all the way down to zero again. America's tapped out. The world is tapped out. So the more you lower rates, the more that inflation persists, and everything's going to cost more money for people. This is the problem that
Chris,
we have.
I want to get your prognosis. You've been dead on about what's about to happen next, but let me just put this plug out right up front. And I'm 100% naked about this, and I'm proud of it. I've not had a gold sponsor in 10, 11, I think it's 12 years, because gold and silver is a great thing to be in, but people are greedy, and they want to put a big markup on it. I won't do that. I want to sell silver and gold bullion. And so for 12 years, I've not had a sponsor. You're the top silver guy now because you've done such a great job over 25 years. You're not even pushing gold. And I mean, look, just recently I've been offered $1 million a month. It would save the company. It would be all the money we needed. $1 million a month to go with these companies that charge people 30, 40%. They rip them off. I won't be part of it. And so there's this weird paradox where here is KEPM.com/gold. You go to that URL, we get the support. And you're a real company with 4.7, star, ready to actually deliver it to people, and it's a no-brainer. And sure, then you can only do so much sponsorship because your profit's so small. They can sell it back to you for no cost. That is the huge thing that nobody who's big does. It's a no-brainer. People need to call you. They need to get into silver. If they got into silver a year ago, 3 years ago, gold, any of it, look at it, folks. It's the no-brainer. I only sell a high-quality water filter, highest rated, for half the price of the competitor. I guess I should sell it like they sell it expensive. I wouldn't have financial issues. I just have this thing where I want to sell people stuff at the very best price I can. We could sell you crap vitamins for a third the price that are synthetic and aren't good for you. We pay a lot because they're the best. That's my philosophy, and God's blessed me because of it. But you're a great sponsor. People need to get ready. They need to get silver. They need to get gold. They need to call you at 720-605-3900, and they need to do a consultation, and then boom, it is the wholesale price. It is not some scam. It is, you can check the price of gold and silver, and that's it, with 8% on it, folks, with all the consulting that goes with it, and then you can sell it back for nothing, and that is incredibly valuable. So everybody should go to kepm.com/Alex, and call the number 720-605-3900 now, because I only try to go with what I think is a sure bet, and I'm rarely wrong. Now I feel even better about this, and already felt great, But then that's the good part. The bad part is because we're in such a crisis mode. So I want to get back to the economy and the huge amount of data you sent me, because you hardly ever even plug your company. But spend a few minutes talking about what you think people should do, how much silver's gone up, how much gold's gone up in the last few years. Right now, give people a pitch, because this is as close as a sure thing there is. It's not a panacea. Nothing's perfect, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. But boom, this is important to make the move right now.
It is. So we've had meetings all week long, Alex, on what happens when we transition out of silver and into gold, because we ultimately will. So begs the question, why are we in silver right now? Because it's doing better, right? It's outperforming. And when you buy bullion, which is the lowest cost that you can get, that's one of the keys to wealth is buy low, sell high.
But JP Morgan and all the banks, they're buying gold hand over fist.
They're buying gold hand over fist, and gold's not a bad investment. It's doing well. I mean, it's near an all-time high. Earlier this morning, it surpassed $2,500 an ounce, right? And estimates from Citibank and others are it's going to go over $3,000 an ounce in 2025. It's growing, but silver is growing faster. So we've had meetings all week long with the depository, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, Alex, on technology for this ratio trade that's coming. Because when the ratio between gold and silver goes from 80 to 1 to 60 to 1, we can unload some of the silver, roll it into gold, and we compound the number of ounces of gold that you could have owned from today till then. That's free gold, right? It's extra ounces that you didn't have to pay for. And then we'll do that again. So the technology that we are setting up right now, months before this is ever going to happen. So when that time comes, we're going to capitalize on it quickly for all of our clients, because at some point we will be 100% into gold, and then we'll be compounding our ounces back into silver in the other direction.
But that's my question. Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver. Right. It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, OK, there's not enough silver in the world to do that. Right. So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right. So this is why
they've got so many quadrillions of fake money. There's too much fiat to even buy the silver. Which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all-time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
No, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back. New World Order is going to take everything you got. They're going to take your children's soul. Are you going to keep bowing down to these people? Are you going to let this scum rule over you? It's time to break their will. It's time to say, I don't care what the hell you do to me. And I don't know how this is going to end. But if you want to fight, you better believe you've got one. Come on. lot of people have been asking me how they support InfoWars in this critical fight. And it's simple. Support our sponsors. And we brought you something really special that's a limited edition. It is a campaign coin. You've seen campaign coins from different wars, Vietnam, World War II, you name it. Some wars were just, some wars were bad. But still, we've supported the troops and their memento of the campaign they've been through. Well, we're working with one of the top companies in America that is supporting so many great conservative talk show hosts like the Hodge Twins and so many others who come up with so many of these beautiful coins. And this one is the Hold the Line coin. It is a limited edition. And this campaign coin is only $30. You get an additional 10% off with promo code Alex at HoldTheLine.com. HoldTheLine.com. It's got the Liberty Bell. It says fight for freedom with other inscriptions. On the reverse side, it's got key quotes from the Bill of Rights, from true Americana history. This is a piece of history that funds the InfoWar. So this is a limited edition for InfoWars. If you want to support the broadcast, get the Hold the Line coin right now at HoldTheLine.com. This is how you show the globalists that you're a patriot and you stood up for America and you help hold the line, the most critical point in the info war. Go to HoldTheLine.com and get 10% off with the promo code Alex. It's an amazing limited edition coin. I'm firing the bat signal like Colonel Travis the Alamo. Victory or death, we need your support. It's a piece of history. You get a big discount with promo code Alex. Now go to HoldTheLine.com right now and get the coin, HoldTheLine.com. You want to keep us on air? Get a piece of history? Take action now. HoldTheLine.com.
Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
You look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library, the most powerful person has water. I'm a well driller. So we have actually a pretty sound filtration system, but sure. I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa Pure.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, we're not in Kansas anymore, as they say. We have a great economist and amazing researcher, Dr. Kirk Elliott, joining us. KEPM.com/gold. All right, you sent me a giant stack. We only got like 27 minutes left of clips and analysis with Venezuela, the economy, the world, everything that's happening, Dr. Kirk Elliott. So, and then we've got graphs I posted on X showing the same fraud in 2020 that Maduro did, where we'll put all that on screen. Let's plow into all this research you sent me.
So we'll start with Venezuela, right? Because this social mayhem, this uprising, these riots, the looting, the fires in the streets, right? We're probably going to see the same thing in November. Right. Because that chart that showed what happened in Georgia and what happened in Venezuela, the timing of the votes that came in, it looks so similar, Alex. It's so similar that it's obvious that the election rigging, that they learned from each other. Right. Because the Venezuelan people didn't like Maduro. Why would they? They had 1,000,000% inflation.
Exit
2 years
poll
ago.
Showed Gonzalez got 65%.
Yeah, and people don't like Maduro. I mean, you wouldn't like him either. I wouldn't like him if we had to live in a country that had 1,000,000% inflation in a year. 1,000,000. I mean, that's so much. So people couldn't afford to live. There's no way that this guy should have won, right? But that shows me that there's massive election fraud, right? And so if you can't win fair and square, you're going to have to do something like that. What does that bring? Chaos, uncertainty, distrust. That impacts the markets, right? So then we can actually transition moving into the banking world here in America. So if you look at what's been happening in the banks, so do you remember it was, I think it was in April, Republic First Bank in Pennsylvania went into FDIC receivership. They went out of business, right? And so Fulton Bank bought them. Well, here's the problem. Why would they buy something that was so toxic that they had to go into FDIC receivership? Well, they thought, oh, man, we can get this at a discount, right? But no, you're buying something toxic. It's just like dropping a couple drops of poison into a fresh glass of water. It taints the whole well. So they added all these toxic assets into their balance sheet, made that Fulton Bank toxic. And just this morning, the news came out that now Fulton Bank is having, you know, financial disarray. And they're going to have to close 18.
Which you predicted 9 months ago would happen.
I did. It's like 18 banks' branches are closing because they bought these toxic assets. When Silicon Valley Bank went down, Alex, and Credit Suisse and First Republic and Signature Bank and all those banks, it's like I knew that this was going to happen again because they didn't fix the problem. They put a Band-Aid on it and they threw stimulus money at it called the Bank Temp Funding Program. So banks couldn't go into FDIC receivership because FDIC only has 1.17% of all deposits covered. And you've played that clip numerous times of the stupid FDIC meeting where they're kind of giggling in the background. It's like, oh, the people trust us more than we trust ourselves. We can't let this story go out, right? This would cause a run on the banks. And they're right. But FDIC is so underfunded. Now that Bank Temp Funding Program expired, it sunset. Now we're seeing banks starting to fail again, right? Because of what's happening in the economy. When you have low wages, you have high inflation, you have high taxes, you have high interest rates, delinquencies on people's loans that's going to default. Banks are going to fail, Alex. There is going to be another run of banks. And I'm not a prophet. This is just math, right? We are going to see banks continue to fail moving forward. So who else knows this? Who else knows that these banks are going to fail? How about Warren Buffett, right? So actions speak louder than words, right? So you look at what Warren Buffett has done. Berkshire Hathaway, they're one of their largest basically owned assets that they have in the company was Bank of America. So they sold in the last 12 days, Warren Buffett sold $3.8 billion of Bank of America shares. You got to ask yourself, how could the Oracle of Omaha, you know, one of the smartest investors ever known, right? It's like, why would he be selling something if he thought it was going to go up, right? So he doesn't think it's going to go up. That's why he's selling it. So he's getting rid of the banking shares, which tells me, we might be onto something, Alex. When you and I have been talking about more bank failures coming, he's getting rid of the second largest holding that Berkshire Hathaway had, which is Bank of America. But that's not all he's getting rid of. So he's selling Apple shares, right? He loves Bank of America. He loved his Apple shares. He's held them for a long time, and he's starting to dump these things. Why? I don't think it has anything to do with Apple. It has to do with the bigger, broader economy. Right, which is he's expecting something big and bad and ugly and corrective to happen.
And instead, so like Bill Gates, he's moving into farmland.
Moving into farmland and sitting in cash, which is a stupid thing for him to do because banks are going to fail, right? So you can't sit on top of that much cash because how much cash does he have? Record levels. He's now sitting on almost $200 billion worth of cash. It's like, oh my word, that's a lot of cash. So when he's sitting on that much cash and doesn't have it allocated into companies, because what does Warren Buffett do? What's his investment style? He's a value investor, not a values investor. I don't think he could care. He's a value investor. I mean, he wants to buy things at a discount. And so he wants to sit in cash.
He's getting
so
ready for the fire sale. Collapse, he's getting ready for the fire sale.
Yeah. He wants to go into the fire sale and buy things at a discount. But he's sitting in too much money in cash. I wouldn't have that much money in the banks. Where is he holding it, right? So because banks are undercapitalized, FDIC is underinsured. Now, when you're dealing with billions of dollars, FDIC, who cares? That is a $250,000 limit. But the point is, he's got money into a system that is about to fail, and he sees the other system that's about to fail, which are the normal stock market, as overall, overarching. Why? Because the economy stinks.
And I agree with you, market. So let me just pause there. We can't play this clip enough. This is a year ago. This is the FDIC, Federal Depositor Insurance Corporation, meeting. They're so arrogant. It's a public record. It's being recorded. They don't care. They say, don't tell the public, but we're about to grab their bank accounts with bail-ins. Here they are admitting it. I would think something like this itself would cause bank runs, but they're so arrogant. Here's a clip.
Whether there are some market tests of whether you're being heard. And I think about TLAC. So TLAC should respond to good and bad news about the institutions. And it's really important. I mean, it's a little bit conflicted, right? I mean, it's important that people understand they can be bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institution. But they're going to be. And it could be an early warning signal to the FDIC and the primary regulators when these things happen. And there may be some other prices. This is similar to what Jay was saying in the market that you can tell whether people understand who's going to be protected, who isn't going to be protected. It would be, I think, an interesting study to look at the evolution of market prices in a situation like March of 2020, for example, and see whether people understood what might happen.
And in the next part, he goes on and says, maybe we shouldn't tell the public this. So that's like an hour-long deal. But imagine, folks, where we are. They said the bail-ins will happen. They will grab part of your bank account and create this unified ledger. We're going into this. They're just getting deck chairs rearranged here and ready for this. And they want to keep putting it off, but they can't with these interest rate cuts. But I mean, this is just amazing. So they can't stop inflation. They try to crush the economy to stop inflation, but that creates stagflation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're stagflation, for everybody who was alive and can remember in the late 1970s, Carter's administration, outside of Biden, the worst economic president that I think America has ever seen, right? Because you had, what did you have? You had a recession. Stores couldn't afford to stay open. People, the inflation was 14.3%. That it was out of control. There was rationing at the gas pumps, right? Everything was wrong with America at that time economically. Reagan came in, slowed down the inflation by jacking up interest rates to 18%. Remember, if you had a mortgage
Paul
back
Volcker.
Then in what's that?
Keep going.
Oh, in 1983, interest rates were 18%. Why? To slow down inflation. So this is why I think when they talk about rate cuts right now, it's a pipe dream. They might do it once to save face, but they have to go up. Because unofficially, this is what I did my dissertation on, one of them, is inflationary pressures are now hovering at around 15%, not 3-point-something. Those are artificially held low for political reasons. Your wallet will tell us more than that. So interest rates have to go sky high. When you have higher prices, higher cost of borrowing, people aren't working, wage growth is down, which the numbers this morning talked about. That's stagflation. That is a policy nightmare for a politician. How do you fix that? It's really hard to get out of that. So we've got more pain coming in the economy. But now, couple all of that, these economic puzzle pieces, right, with now geopolitical landscape that's happening and the wars and the rumors of wars and everything that's happening and people operating in fear. And you look at what's happening in Israel. The Middle East, Alex, is about to go up in flames, in my opinion.
Oh, mainline analysts say it's about to go full regional war, bare minimum.
Full on.
And maybe the U.S. attacks Iran, Russia says they're going to back them. This is biblical.
This is. So that's no longer a regional war. This could escalate into something even bigger when you look at who is Israel fighting against right now. They're it's not just a country, it's an ideology that they're fighting against, right? So you've got Hamas, you've got Hezbollah, you've got ISIS, you've got Taliban, you've got all the countries involved, whether it's Palestine or Syria or Lebanon or Iran. All of these kind of go back to Iran. Well, here's the funny thing about that, in a not so funny sort of way. What happened with Iran earlier in the year, in January? They were admitted into the BRICS nations, where they now have economic and political support with the other BRICS nations being China and Russia, right? So now if Iran is funding all of these different terrorist groups, and this is the weird thing is, you know, the Sunnis and the Shia Muslims, they don't really get along, right? But now under this common enemy being the great Satan America, the little Satan Israel, they are going to band together. There's going to be unification. And I wouldn't be surprised if the black flag of jihad goes up all over mosques, all over the world, and there's these attacks. But this is who Israel is fighting. And what did Russia do? What did Putin decide to do? It's like, we will fund Iran with our military might and our weaponry to fight this battle, because now they are part of the BRICS nations, Alex. And so why aren't they going to support each other? I mean, this got ugly really, really fast. And so now you've got that fear, absolute fear, gripping the hearts of minds of people, which could be very prophetic. This is in Revelation, right? And so now you've got economic woes. You've got safety woes. You've got military. What's going to happen to Israel? Are we going to support Israel or not? I mean, here's the ugly thing. If Russia is giving Iran missiles and Israel's fighting battles to the north in Lebanon with Hezbollah, to the south and to the east against Hamas and the Houthis, it's like, good grief. They're ultimately going to run out of weapons, right? So are we then going to support them? What happens? This becomes a geopolitical nightmare.
And now seven U.S. warships
really
have entered the Mediterranean. So this is all because the world financial system is coming into a change.
Yeah, they're coming into a huge change. And this economic change globally, China's on top of it, right? What did they do? They dumped $75 billion worth of U.S. treasuries in June, not just to make money, but to destroy the U.S. dollar. What did the U.S. have to do in response? Because who's buying those treasuries? The rest of the world doesn't want U.S. treasuries. So the Fed is buying them. They're the buyer of last resort.
You're great at giving us a big picture and going through every little piece. But give us, and we'll get back into all the other points you sent. We haven't covered half of it yet. What's the time frame? We're not holding you to it, but dead reckoning. You know, you had to answer right now. What do you see happening?
3 months. I think all this comes down before the election, right? It's like, because when you start then to add up some of the other fears, and this is why I say that, it's not just military, it's not just political, it's not just economic. We've got a health scare coming, right? When the former head of the CDC said, you know what, this bird flu thing, that's going to be really bad. It's got a 20% mortality rate. One out of every five people
that
is
supposedly
going to...
That means they've got that on the shelf ready to release it.
Yeah, it's ready to... People are going to die. One out of every five are going to die from this thing, where COVID was only 0.2% or 0.6. It's like, good grief, that's a lot more. So earlier this, well, it was actually last week, Alex. So I believe there's mandates coming. I have this article that I sent to you. So pandemic 2.0, the FDA to grant emergency use authorization for mRNA bird flu shots. I'm just like, what does this mean? So you've got this current procedural terminology. CPT is long, stupid terminology. But basically, what is that? It's the protocols when somebody has this bird flu, just like when somebody has COVID, what happens? Well, you have to have social distancing. You have to wear a mask. You can't travel. When people go into the hospital, they're going to give them something worse than the sickness itself that kills them, right? It's like, and nobody, your family can't know about it. These are the protocols that are put in place. So this emergency use procedural stuff that they've just put together, that tells us that it's now ready, right? They are getting ready for this bird flu to come during flu season. It's like, how does this unroll? I'm thinking out loud here, right? I'm not necessarily making a prediction, but I think either it comes out before the election, so it's so bad that people can't go out to vote. They're going to have mail-in ballots, right? Or if they think that there's a shoo-in that Trump is going to win, let's unleash this nasty evil on the world right after the election. So Trump now has to deal with this, and his plans can't be implemented because the whole world is on lockdown and new mandates are coming, right? So I think that you add all of this together, Alex, this is the beginning of our show. This is physical manifestations of a spiritual battle. You've got health scares. You've got war. You've got economic scares, and people are afraid that they're going to run out of money. You've got social decay. And you know what? The Olympics, right? It's like I'm watching that, and you've got this guy who punched out this girl, right? And it's like, where are all the feminists, right? It's like, you want women's sports, and then you let a guy beat up a woman on international TV. It's like, what is going on in this world? And there's not an outcry about it. This is insane. It's insanity, right? So to me, all of these things paint into a bigger picture. And so we have to ask ourselves, how close are we to their final end game, which is central bank digital currency? That is the monitoring arm, Alex. It's not just a banking thing. It's the monitoring arm to control people and their spending and what they can spend money on, and ideologically based, right? We've talked about this numerous times, but Project Orem at the Bank for International Settlements. So people can go to BIS.org, right, and look it up, type in Project Orem. What does it say? It says, okay, we've got this central bank digital currency repository. This is everybody's digital assets in this bucket. And so we've talked about that. But what now they are doing is they're connecting it to decentralized cryptocurrency. Call it Bitcoin, right? Any financial institution can issue some kind of a crypto token. So now they've got the interoperability figured out with Project Orem, where centralized digital currency, decentralized digital currency, and attached to you via a retail wallet. So now they've got everything. Alex, there is no escape. So when we read Revelation 13 and says every man, woman, and child, right, has to have this mark to buy or sell, because people have said, Kirk, well, decentralized cryptocurrency and like these decentralized wallets like Uniswap and other things, we're going to be able to actually have this parallel economy. I don't know if you can. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. But this new Project Orem is pulling decentralized and centralized cryptocurrency all together under a retail e-wallet that attaches to you, which based on World Economic Forum is the ideologically based test, and the unified ledger, which you've talked about, it's all of that wrapped into one. So the only way that you can escape a digital world is to have a tangible asset like silver, like gold, that's not digital, that can't be turned off with the flip of a switch. And all of this stuff is happening while everybody's distracted with an assassination attempt, with the Olympics and guys fighting girls. And then you've got these wars and rumors of wars and everything that's happening and bank failures. All of this stuff is happening behind the scenes and nobody is paying attention.
Absolutely.
To it.
So the number one thing is a relationship with God.
The most pivotal thing in the world.
It is. Number one thing is a relationship with God and then family. If you got a farm, if you can be self-sufficient community, that's key. But silver and gold is a no-brainer, but it's a minefield of bad companies. And again, folks, I can have the bad companies on. I know great people that have them on. I won't be part of it. Kirk will steer you right. 8% on the silver, on the gold, and then they let you sell it back for no cost. That is a huge value. You're going to get great consultation. You need to call and get silver and gold, but silver mainly right now. We'll put the number on screen. and just, you know, do a quick consultation, because they're going to really, you know, try to go through all that with you and just say, I'm ready to get into silver, and then it funds the operation. But you want silver, you want to hold it. KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. But again, relationship with God, you know, family you can work with, storable foods, guns to protect yourself, and then silver and gold come along right after that. I mean, it's just absolutely one of the essential things out there. In closing, I don't think it's predictions that are going to come true. I think we're already in it, Kirk. I think this is it. I mean, this is going to be a spectacular time to be alive. Anybody that says they're bored right now must not be paying attention.
Well, I don't think that if they're bored, they aren't paying attention. And this is where we have to ask ourselves this very important question. Why are we alive right now? Right? Why didn't God create me 400 years ago or 400 years from now? No. He knit us together in our mother's womb right here, right now, for this time in history to make a difference, to be a light in the dark world, like we talked about earlier. You know, like Esther in the Bible, right? She saved her nation by putting her neck on the line. She could have been killed, but she spoke to the king, made her request. She could have been killed for that, but she didn't. She saved a nation for such a time as this, right? All of us are here for such a time as this. We better figure out why. Is it to be a light to the nation, to the world, to your neighborhood, just simply your neighbor or your own family? Start speaking the truth and bringing hope, and don't live in this state of fear. And don't let the things that Alex, you and I talk about when we're on the show, it's like, it's just bad news. The world is full of bad news. But you have to understand how bad it is so you can actually address it properly and do the right thing. So it all starts with us. Well, outside of these video walls here, right? What we have to be hope to a lost and dying world. And it starts with our family. It starts with our neighbors. And then you can become politically active at the local level, at the state level, at the national level, right? Make your voice heard. But you know what? It takes you actually being able to survive financially to get to that point, so because the economy is collapsing. That's why.
Well, that's
this
right.
Is
and when you're living in a historic time like this, you've got to admit the time you're in and not mm-hmm. deny it, and then take action. So, relationship with God, yeah. Family, friends, storable food, firearms. You know, getting ready, and then silver and gold. It's just I only promote stuff. It's I'm like telling people you better have a bottle of water going into the desert. This is not rocket science.
Yeah, and you have to get healthy, right? You don't want to have to go into the doctor and get sick, right? Which is why everything that you have to offer to people, it's not just financial hope, it's not just political hope, it's health hope, right? Because we don't want what they've got for us, right? We have to start taking care of ourselves.
You're right, Dr. Kirk Elliott, great job. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. God bless you.
Sounds good. God bless.
KEPM.com/gold.
There are a lot of amazing green drinks out there, and the amount of evidence is just massive of how good they are for our whole bodies, but especially our guts, our immune systems, our vitality. It's so important, but not all of them are made equal. I couldn't operate in the last 10 years without my morning green drink. And I'm telling you, folks, when I started trying this product just about 6 months ago, it was game-changing. It was so much more powerful than any of the products I'd used before. Optimal Human is hands down the best concentrated green drink out there on the market. And we're so excited to be partnering with them to bring it to you discounted with 25% off when you follow this particular link. And it's so simple. You go to optimalhuman.com/Alex. And by just going to that link, no promo code has to be put in, nothing. You get 25% off right off the top by going there. Now, it would take me 20 minutes to tell you everything about this amazing product, but you need to go read about it for yourself. And this is what I call a total 360 win. It's the highest quality, it's a great price, and it supports the InfoWar. OptimalHuman.com/Alex, 25% off right off the top, and it funds the InfoWar and empowers your body, your stamina, your energy, your health. For yourself and your family, I hope you try Optimal Human now by going to optimalhuman.com/Alex and supporting the InfoWar. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric,
or whether it's natural sleep aid, or whether it's saw palmetto, with other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breast. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.